When you do long sitting, it's important to keep the body relaxed, soft. Many bodies must get tight because you are not used to sitting. So it takes time. For the body to be used to sitting. So then it's important that you remind yourself to have a comfortable posture so you can relax into. That is the first. If you're going to have a good sit, you have to sit comfortable, like you're parking your car. If you park your car in a place that is not allowed to park, you're always worried about it, no? Maybe you get a ticket. Like that. So if you don't park your body good, then your attention is always there because you can't go deeper. So the first is to park the body in a good posture. Then, of course, the mind is not used to stopping, so it will be more restless. That's why it always takes some time before the body, the mind, the emotions, the feeling, the whole system, your whole energy start relaxing. That is normal. You just have to remind yourself to relax into the sitting, focusing on your breath, focusing on your heart, and be aware of your posture. Just a few millimeters difference change in your balance, in your posture, in your spine can do a whole difference for your energy. So be aware of that when you sit. Yesterday I was talking about Bodhidharma, the Shaolin monastery, the martial arts, the Tai Chi, the Qigong. All that is to keep the body settled, relaxed. But it's easier when it is in movement. The most subtle energy is when you just sit. No, it's no movement, it's just an inner energy. So then posture becomes even more important. Balance becomes even more important. Centering becomes more important. So many people will experience some pain in different places in the body. And maybe the pain has always been there, but you haven't been aware to observe it. Now we will go on with Bodhidharma, some of his teachings. And the teaching is always the same. From the masters, it is to bring you back to yourself. He says, if you don't understand by yourself, you will have to find a master to get to the bottom of life and death. But unless he sees, he lives his nature, even such a person is not a master. Long ago, the old monk called Gudstar was able to recite all the sutras of the Buddhist sutra books. But he did not escape the wheel because he did not see his true essence, his nature. In this, if this was the case with the old monk Gudstar, then people nowadays who recite just a few sutras, burn some incense, and think that this is the Dharma, they are just fools. He is saying, if you don't understand by yourself, you will have to find a master to get to the bottom of life and death. And people don't understand by themselves because nobody is educating about life and death, about your true nature, about meditation. And that's why everybody is lost. Everybody goes on living like everything is fine, but very shallow. Spending their valuable life in all kinds of dreams, which is totally normal. Because people are asleep. They don't understand. They don't see true. They don't have a bigger vision of themselves or the world. If you don't understand by yourself, which must be only one in millions and millions who understand by themselves, you will have to find a master to get to the bottom of life and death. No, you are born, you are here. So birth has happened. Life is now happening. Death will come. So using this precious time, which all the master is saying, this human birth is very precious. Use it wisely. Otherwise, you will suffer in ignorance. But very few is going deeper. They just live like they will live forever, not thinking at all, not reflecting at all, not going deeper at all. And suddenly life is finished. For this you have to have someone who has gone to the bottom of themselves, of life and death, of existence. But unless they see, he sees his true nature, he lives his true nature, such a person is not the master. There are so many false masters, gurus, teachers. It's always been like that. They maybe know all the scriptures, they maybe know all the techniques. They might talk so wisely. And they will fool the masses because it sounds amazing. But they are not self-realized. For somebody who is self-realized, it can be much more difficult to understand because you have to go deeper in yourself. And it might be much more difficult for that person to speak also, because he's not trained to speak. He's not a teacher. So even in those days, Bodhidharma is making people aware that unless he sees and lives his true nature, such a person is not the master. They might still have disciples and students. But if they don't focus in themselves, and again you hear stories, there's Indian gurus, cases against them in India now. They've been raping the children of the disciples. This has always been like that. They don't know themselves, but they are acting it out. But these people get what they need. A real enlightened person, he won't fit in any system. You have to be a little crazy to get involved. He never follows the mainstream. And he's not interested what if people should like him or not. The only interest is to speak the truth. Long ago, a monk called Gudstar was able to recite all the Buddhist sutras and books. This is how they still sit and learn in the Buddhist monastery, in the Tibetan monastery, in the Christian, studying to become a priest, reading the Bible, rereading the scriptures. Like that is going to make you wise. The whole Bhagavad Gita, all the sutras, all the holy scriptures. But that doesn't help you to know who you are. It's still just mental. But he did not escape the wheel because he did not see his true essence, his true nature. He did not escape the wheel. The wheel is the wheel of samsara, of illusion, that goes on spinning till you cut through it. This wheel is the wheel of the mind, of the ego, that goes from life to next life, to next life, to next life, to next life, because you don't cut through it. And stopping the wheel, that means that now you came out of it. That is self-realization. No, you are out of the wheel. The masses, the whole world spins around on the wheel, thinking everything is fine. That is the masses. Then a few people start reflecting, what am I here for? Is this right? Difficult to fit into the plastic society, to the religious ideology, then they start going deeper. That is stepping out of one wheel. And it's deeper and deeper and deeper. You have to step out of this wheel that you go on spinning. And it goes on spinning because you are unconscious. It's only awareness that stops it. Because the awareness, the consciousness, can function in the now. And the wheel just spins, that means time. The only thing that can stop it is no time. Presence. Otherwise, it's always past and future. That's what the mind is. Life after life after life after life. Dream after dream after dream after dream. Stopping the wheel means no, you are free. You're stepping out of illusion. You start functioning in reality as awareness. So Bodhidharma is reminding us that it doesn't help. It never have helped and it's always been like that. People can study their whole life, the holy scriptures, and be very famous, and even be a big master, but they don't know who they are. Nothing will happen. It's always been like that. It will always be like that. That's why they said Zen is no rules, is no holy scriptures. It has to function in the now. That's why a master is needed, because it has to, only a live master can bring you into the now. Reading the scriptures won't help. He did not escape the wheel because he did not see his true nature. If this was the case with Gudstha, then people nowadays who recite a few sutras and think this is the Dharma, they are just fools. And that is how it has become. And again, if it was like that in Bodhidharma's time, then it's definitely like that now. In India, they burn a little incense and they say, Om Namah Shiva, like this. And they think that is something. Or reciting Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, doesn't do anything. Or doing the prayer beads, or spinning the wheels. Or saying Allahu, Allahu. It doesn't matter what. Everything becomes a habit. And then it cannot help. It might be like you taking an aspirin if you have a headache. It helps you in that moment. But only to gain your own consciousness will help you. And if you do that, then all rituals, all meditations, all techniques, all scriptures, down the drain. For what? That's why also the Zen people say that if you cold in the night, burn the wooden Buddha. And the traditional Buddhists, they came to the master and he was sitting there and that nice wooden Buddha, it was just his head left in the fire. And they couldn't believe it. Is this guy gone totally crazy? He was well respected in the village. And now an entourage of Buddhist priests are coming by and they're going to visit the master. And he sits there in the evening, giggling and having his corn on the cob on the Buddha. And they totally freak out. What kind of man is this? Burning the Buddha. And And he laughs and said, if the Buddha is cold, he burns that wooden Buddha. What's the big deal? But if you are not Buddha, if you haven't realized your Buddha nature, then it's sacrilegious. It's the same in Christianity, in the Hindus, for the Buddhists, for any religion, not to mention Islam. They can kill you. Even if you are a Buddha and you are burning a wooden Buddha, they can kill you. Because they don't have eyes to see who the master is. They think the Buddha is the statue. The statue is dead. That is how dead people are. That's why all the masters down the centuries have called people asleep. Or more in recent time, Gurdjieff, Osho, just like robots. Or like Bodhidharma, fools. Because they don't see. It doesn't help. Only awareness will help. Just fools. Your true nature is the Buddha, and the Buddha is the person who is free. Free of plans, free of cares. If you don't see your nature and run around the whole day looking somewhere else, you will never find yourself. You will never find enlightenment. But to reach such an understanding, you need a master. Again, he goes on reminding, your true essence, your true nature is the Buddha. And remember, when enlightened people talk, or especially from the Buddhist tradition, they talk about the Buddha. It's not the person, that Buddha, which I call Big B, Big Buddha. He started it, he's the Big B, no? But everybody has their Buddha nature, and that's what Bodhidharma means. He means your nature is the Buddha, it's not that Buddha, it's not Big B. It's your Buddha nature, it's your true nature. So your true nature is the Buddha. That is a fact, but you have forgotten. And the Buddha is the person who is free. So, if you find your Buddha nature, you are free. Free of plans, free of cares. If you don't see your true nature and run around the whole day, the whole life, looking somewhere else, you will never find yourself. You will never find enlightenment. And that's what we've been doing for ages, running around doing everything else, then stopping, then reflecting, then meditating, then observing how your mind functioning, who you are, how you think, how you feel, what is real, what is not. Everybody is running around doing all kinds of nonsense. And very few people know who they are. Very few people know their own true Buddha nature. That is how this world has become. And it's never been more false, more confused, more dark than now. That's why in India they call it Kali Yoga, the age of darkness. It's the last age. But also then, it's more opportunities to wake up for the one who wants to wake up. When I found my master, I had to go all the way to India. I didn't know about any enlightened people. Yes, I found a few. Nisargadatta Maharaj was in Bombay at that time. Krishnamurti was on the planet. Very few. But now, the last 20 years since Osho left the body, then it has been an explosion. But people are still sleepy. If you want, you can go to the end of the world. But if you're not thirsty, then you won't even go from Oslo to Helan. Even in your own country, that's how, because people are asleep. Before you wake up, you should pull yourself together. But that's how it is. Even here, coming here or going to Brazil or wherever, then it's people who just sit. And then afterwards they say, oh, I should have been there. Because life is always something that is happening. You always find some excuses not to go in, not to face yourself, not to become free. It's more comfortable, it's more easy to play the normal games, lullaby. To wake up takes effort, dedication, commitment, strength, courage. These qualities almost disappeared from the world. People are so lukewarm, so dull, so dead, so no fun. That is almost embarrassing. But it's normal. No, it's like if you are depressed and down and crying, then anybody can relate to you. Ah, what are you going through? Oh, yeah, it's so terrible. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, yeah. I know how it is. If somebody is laughing, then it's like something is wrong with you. Somebody is happy. Somebody is dancing. What is wrong? He must have been taking some drugs. That's how society is. No, it's much more normal to eat antidepressant and Prozac. It's never been so crazy before. Why? Because people, humanity, have lost total touch with their sacredness, their truth, their true nature. Then, of course, the whole system, because this imprint is in everybody. But nobody is talking about it. Nobody is sharing anything about the truth. Everything is just flat and everything is fine. And if you start waking up, then something is wrong with you. Behave. We don't know who you are anymore. When you take off your mask, they don't know who you are anymore. That's fine. You just know it is a mask. It's okay. But don't think that you are the mask. You don't need to scare them. You go home and visit your family. Put on your mask. Have coffee, I say. Behave normal. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, nice weather today, like that. But don't think that you are that. Then you are also in the same boat. It takes tremendous courage and intelligence to be free. And Bodhidharma says, if you don't understand, which almost nobody does, a master is a must. This is one thing all the mystics has agreed on. From Buddha to Osho, from Rumi to Bodhidharma, to Guru Nanak, to Ramana Maharshi, they all have said. From Rinzai to Papaji, Buddha himself, Big B himself, is that the greatest gift, the most fortunate anybody can be in this world is to have a master. The most fortunate people. But you are only fortunate if you realize the situation. Some people also, they like to have a master, just have a master in the back pocket. I have a master. It doesn't do anything. You have to look at yourself. You have to be ready to get the help, the support of the master. You have to work on yourself. Yes, without the master, not possible. But second, you have to work on yourself. You have to use that truth, that light of the master to go deeper into you. Your true nature is the Buddha, and the Buddha is the person who is free, free of plans, free of cares. If you don't see your nature and run around the whole day, your whole life, looking somewhere else, you will never find yourself, you will never find enlightenment, you will never find peace. Because peace only comes out of that which is real. Harmony only comes out of balance, when you are harmonious. Otherwise, if you are living a lie, how can any peace, how can any harmony come out of it? And only by seeing the lies that we all have been eating from we were little, and dropping them, can you be free? But to reach such an understanding, such an insight, you definitely need a master. And you need to work, to struggle, to make yourself understand. That is the second thing. The master is absolutely a must. And if the disciple is ready, if that human being is ready, then he is also ready for the work, for this, what Bodhidharma calls the struggle. Because you have to struggle to let go of all your unnecessary luggage, which is what I call it many times. You can dance also with a 100-kilo backpack, but you don't look so elegant. You can try. Let's do the tango. 100 kilos of bricks in your backpack. It just looks embarrassing. But if you have no luggage, nothing to carry, just a beautiful light dress, then you can dance, then you can swing, then you can whirl, then you can run. But it is a struggle to let go of it. This is the amazing things, how the enlightened people see. Because you want to let go. Everybody wants to dance, everybody wants to be free. But then why is it so hard to let it go? Because you don't know what will happen. You're so used to that burden that if it goes, then why? What will happen? Maybe you will be too free. Maybe you start flying. And that is scary when you all the time has been crawling on four. It takes time. And that's the work of the master. It's okay. Slowly, slowly, slowly. One brick here, one brick there. One brick there, And one day, boof, out from the cliff, yahoo! But that cannot be done before all the bricks is gone. Because, oh, no, it's a pakatas. So it's a dilemma. So that's why Bodhidharma and everybody has been saying that, yes, you need the master, it's absolutely a must. But you need to work on yourself, you need to struggle to make yourself understand. To reach the true understanding, you need a master, and you need to work on yourself, to struggle, to make yourself understand. Life and death are important. Don't suffer them in vain. Human birth is very important. Life and death are important. Don't suffer them in vain. And that's what we have been doing. And people are suffering life and they are suffering death. When you really learn how to live, then you learn how to die also. Then you live beautiful and you die beautiful. I was with Osho when he died in Pune, and seeing him, the body of my master, when they carried him, when we carried him to Buddha Hall, before we took him to the burning ghat by the river to burn his body, but just taking him out from his house and carrying to Buddha Hall, and all the thousands of sannyasins was waiting in Buddha Hall, and he was just laying there on the little bed we had put him on, he looked so beautiful. There's no words to say what the master can do for you. It has to be one's own experience. I remember that when I read this sentence, life and death are important, don't suffer them in vain. And my master really showed me how to live life beautifully. And in that moment, he showed me how to die beautifully. In that moment, it was fulfilled, full circle. Not only live beautiful, but die beautiful, die in bliss. So when I speak on this from Bodhidharma or Buddha, who says that the master is a must, then it's my own experience. It's no difference. Bodhidharma had his master. Otherwise he wouldn't be at Bodhidharma. And without Osho, I wouldn't be here. The master is there that to remind you, life and death are important. Don't suffer them in vain. The master is trying in every way to make you aware, to look, to reflect. How do you live? What are you doing with your life? Wake up. Be more conscious. Be more real. Be more truthful. Even if you have mountains of money and power and many servants, you see them when your eyes are open. But what about when your eyes are shut? You should realize that everything you see is like a dream, like an illusion. If you don't find a master soon, you will live this life in vain. It is so great. Many times when I read this from my family, I'm calling it the family because these enlightened people, it is a far out family situation. I know, and it's just like I could say it myself. If you don't find a master soon, you will live this life in vain. It is true, you have the Buddha nature in you, but without the help of the master, you will never come to know about it. That's why people don't understand this thing with the master, because they are alive. They think they know everything, but they haven't gotten ignited. They have never felt that divinity, the sacredness. That holy place, that only a master can ignite. Yes, it is true, you have the Buddha nature, but without the help of the master, you will never know it. Only one person in millions becomes enlightened without the help of the master. Don't fool yourself. express so much love, so much gratitude. That my heart just melts in his heart. And everything becomes silent. For that's how love is. It transforms. Only love is. And that's what the Master can show you. Love is God. Silence. Bliss. Om Shanti. Don't let your life be in vain. Wake up.